This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Gaze podcast. You can hear us live on Joy 94.9 Saturday afternoon from noon via the live stream at joy.org.au/listen live. Or tune your wireless in Melbourne to 94.9 FM.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, nail it, grade it, change it, point it to me, press it, snap it, work it, cook it, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, pick it, drag it, drop it, zip and zip it, lock it, fill it, call it, find it, view it, code it, jam it, lock it.
This is Joy 94.9 and you're listening to Technogaze, where we gaze into the world of consumer electronics, gadgets and technology. I am Michael, and in the studio today with me is Mark.
G'day.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, you're happy. You're like the proverbial at the moment, aren't you?
I'm enjoying being in control. Is that what you mean?
No, pushing buttons.
Yes. Yes, that's what I meant too.
Yes. Now, we had a little discussion earlier on where I said, I'm the producer today, and you said, but you're the executive producer, which I guess you are, because you have the ability to cut me off any time mid-air, and, you know, I could just be talking like, hang on.
Sorry, what was that?
Yes. Exactly. Now, today's a great day. It's a special day. It's our 21st birthday.
Yes, if you have been tuning into Joy for the past week, of course, you will be quite well aware that it is Joy's 21st birthday. We've been on air 21 years, Joy 94.9. As of this Monday, World AIDS Day.
Yes.
We all have been here for 21 years. I mean, some of that time was part-time, not full-time, but, you know.
We've been around.
As an existence.
And boy, have we grown up.
We have.
We have grown up from one studio to four.
Yes. Four. Very well set out studios.
Especially, and again, if you'd been listening this week, you probably would have heard some of the tales of woe with the sudden conversion of one of the studios.
Yes, we have been forced to upgrade.
Which is good. There's nothing like being compelled to upgrade to a new version of software.
It's like ripping a Band-Aid off, really, isn't it?
Yes. Now, to celebrate the 21st, we are going to reunite.
Yes.
Rain is going to come on for part of the show.
As if we haven't... we said goodbye to Raina, but we just can't let her go. So during the episode today, we're going to have Raina on with us.
Yes, technology willing, that is.
Yes, well, we did test it. We're like good IT professionals. We do like to test things.
Yes. I'm sure it will work.
Fingers and toes.
Now, Beck from Breakfast is also going to be coming on for a little bit.
Now, because it's a 21st birthday, we're just doing a bit of a cross-section across other shows that you may or may not be familiar with on Joy 94.9. Beck is, of course, famous for breakfast very early on the Saturday morning.
She gets up at a very, very early hour.
Mm-hmm. She always wakes me up on a Saturday morning.
Yes, it is nice. My alarm goes off and up comes Beck in the morning.
Hmm. So we'll have her on. But Beck has been around the studio for quite some time, up to, I think, 12 years, yeah. I think, is in total. And 12 of those being on air too, which is quite an amazing feat.
Mm. Now, also in keeping with the spirit of the birthday, we're also talking to other people and other organisations who are involved with Joy, and we're going to have Jason Williams from Globe.
Correct, yes. Globe, of course, being the GLBTIQ group to enable you to converse with other people in other professionals, I guess.
Yeah, in the business sense, yeah. Yeah.
So we thought we'd get them in to represent themselves and... you know, we can pat their backs and they can pat ours, I guess, for being so good to each other.
That's right.
Mm.
Now, we, like every week, have a very jam-packed show.
Yes.
Apple has become the first company in the world to be worth $700 billion from a market capitalization perspective.
Yes. Cue the pinky finger up to the mouth.
Well, I think they're just under it at the moment with the share price going up and down, but you know, the first one to get there.
Largely credited to Tim Cook as well, of course.
Yes.
He's openly gay. As a CEO.
That's probably
Apple.
Not the reason why they're in $7 million.
Well, you might say that he's a diverse thinker and therefore
appealing
knows
to
how to achieve good results.
And we're we're also going to be looking at the father of the World Wide Web, Sir Tim Berners-Lee, who's saying that politicians should learn programming. We'll have a look at why he said that.
Yes. John Howard, you need to learn how to program in BASIC. No, yeah. Wait, John Howard, that wouldn't really help now at all. In fact,
maybe assembler. And there's some new old spine malware that goes back as far as 2008 that's just been discovered.
Oh, yes. Good. Good
to know. Interesting. Now, Google has been ordered to be broken up by the EU.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, this is the first I've heard of this one, actually. I snuck in.
As Ben said before, the EU couldn't even get together to order their lunch order, let alone break them up. So we'll have a bit of a look at that. We're also going to be looking at some new software from Amnesty International.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook has been accused of providing a safe haven for terrorists by the UK Intelligence Committee investigation to the killing of Fusilier Lee Rigby.
Mm.
And there's some quite dire implications as a result of that.
Mm.
And Estonia and Denmark are making tech history.
Yes.
So a full show. Hopefully we'll get through them all.
I suspect we're gonna
probably not.
But we'll do our best here on TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9.
Now, of course, we'd love to hear from you. So if you want to get in touch, give us a call on 1300-JOY-949.
Yep.
Or
you can SMS us 0427-JOY-949 as well. Joy being 569 on the number keypad. And you can email us on air at joy.org.au.
That's right. Lots of ways. We'd love to hear from you, any opinion or anything like that.
Yep.
Let us start very quickly with Apple.
Mm-hmm.
$700 billion.
Yeah. So this has taken place just this week. So in terms of the number, it's actually in their market capitalization. So in theory, it's how much they're worth according to the share market.
That's right.
Or the price of the current going price of
shares.
Yeah.
So take the shares, multiply, take the share value, multiply it by the number of shares, and it pops up to $700
billion.
Mm. Number two is Exxon.
ExxonMobil.
So who would have thought 10 years ago that a tech company would be bigger than something like a company and, in fact, be the number one company in the world?
Well, Microsoft and Google... Microsoft have been up there and sort of IBM in the past.
That's right, and they've come down. And Microsoft and Google have been fighting for number three position for a while. And I think at the moment Microsoft is number three and Google is number four.
Yeah, it's interesting how that's the case, that in fact... Microsoft is still number three in terms of that valuation, but in terms of actual sort of mind share, I guess, when it comes, people thinking of a brand in terms of technology, perhaps
not
Microsoft
quite so
isn't up there.
Microsoft, I think, is probably better represented in the business space, and from a retail perspective, it's probably not top of people's minds, but there are a lot of Windows servers out there, and this is one of my little pet bugbears about Microsoft is, if you want one function on a server, you have to have a separate server. You can't run multiple functions on the same server.
Definitely, yeah. Yes.
Yes, and some analysts predict they're going to go up to $1 trillion next year.
That's $1,000 billion.
A lot of money.
$1 trillion, that's huge.
Amazing.
Yeah. Like, a single company, a single entity worth that much in terms of value, that's like, it's phenomenal. Like,
you
biggest belief.
Yes.
If only they'd sort out their tax situation and actually pay the tax that they're perhaps worth here in Australia in particular. But that's a whole different discussion.
Yes. Us and a bunch of lawyers will take years to resolve that one.
Yeah.
Now, so Tim Berners-Lee, who invented the World Wide Web back in 1989, thinks that politicians need to be more tech-savvy, which makes sense. Because his argument is, how can you make laws about computers and IT if you don't understand how it works?
The technology behind it. And this is a funny one because it happens in business as well quite a lot where typically you have this divide, right? You've got this divide of the programmers, the guys, the techies that are doing the work, and then the business. And there's this idea that the business know what they're doing with business and the techies, they just go off and, follow the lead. That's a pretty... outdated way of thinking about it, though, when you think about it. Like, that it doesn't facilitate a very good outcome in the end. So I think what Tim Berners-Lee is saying, and this happens, I guess, in politics as well, is, oh, the technology behind it all is actually, you know, secondary to the actual policy, right?
Yes.
I think we're finding, particularly with discussions like, the privacy legislation that's being spruced by George Brandis, maybe we should be more au fait with the technology and the implications of actual rules that are being put in place.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is when you come in from a technology angle, you also are trained to think several steps in advance, and you think, okay, we do this, what are the repercussions?
Yes.
And sometimes politicians think about, oh yeah, this is in front of my face, we'll fix this, but not necessarily worry or concern about the repercussions.
And you have to design systems. Like, the internet was not a fluke. It was designed in a way that would facilitate exactly what it has become, and that was due to the smarts of people like Tim Berners-Lee.
Yeah.
But even, you know, others, many, many others who helped out, and engineers who actually know the solution, the problem that they're trying to solve. The understanding of that problem is key to coming to a valid solution, I think.
That's right, and to design something that is so robust that has withstood the total changes that were not predictable back when this technology was being created is a fantastic achievement. Now, the UK recently changed their national curriculum to include coding to children as young as 5.
Wow.
And the idea behind it is, let's get more people involved at an earlier age so the people that are really interested in this have more time to hone their skills and to become really expert at it.
Definitely. Like, to incubate that from the very beginning of life is
that's
a,
right.
Like, I mean, I started when I was 7. I think I was pretty lucky that I had the ability, the tools available to me to start at 7 years old.
I wish the technology was around when I was 7. I had an abacus now.
That's a good start. I guess it's logical thinking.
Indeed. It's 16 minutes past midday, and we will be back very shortly with Raina.
This is Joy 94.9. You're listening to TechnoGaze here, and we are having a bit of a fun session here.
Raina, are you there?
Kia ora, Bruce.
Hey! It's like a voice from heaven.
Now, of course,
how Raina, are you? Of course, it's a voice from heaven.
We have you all the way from New Zealand, I believe. I believe. We know, actually.
That's right.
Actually, Raina could be anywhere. She could be standing around the corner and we wouldn't know.
No, but I could be, because how cool is this technology? It's a really great app that I'm using to connect directly to the studio. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's the same tech that we use for outside broadcasts as well, which we've managed to enable to be used ad hoc, which is quite amazing.
And it's so clear.
It is. It sounds. You guys sound amazing. It's like listening to an actual radio, but you're on my phone.
Now, we thought we'd get you on because, you know, it is Joy's 21st, and what an excellent...
Woo!
And we're overdue for a reunion. It's been a week.
That's right.
Or 2.
2 weeks. Can you believe that?
We miss you.
Oh, I miss you too, and Joy.
But it's amazing that...
And it's so...
I was going
to
say...
It's so good to hear the birthday celebrations that have been happening all week.
Now, what would you say is... What is it about Joy that brings, you know, you joy? I mean, what is it that enabled you to come in every week? Because you didn't just do TechnoGaze, right? It was other right. shows as well, right?
Yes, Monday mornings as well, which was a really great way to start a Monday morning, partly because it meant that I didn't have to be at work, which is always a good thing on a Monday morning. And not that joy isn't hard work, but, you know, it's fun. It's for love. And, just sort of hanging out, doing stuff at the station occasionally as well, so some of the events and things. And, geez, you know, it was so good to be so well-connected, I think, to the whole community by being a part of that. Because, I mean, I'm sure everyone's been saying it all week, so I'm sure every listener will have heard this a bunch of times already, but it is one of Australia's biggest gay and lesbian organisations in the whole country. You know, it's so good to be a part of it and to meet so many great people.
Definitely.
I was going to say the diversity of people, the range of people that you meet is great.
Yes, indeed.
Now, and we need more people.
As many as we can have.
Yes.
There are plenty of opportunities up on the Joy website if you want to check out the volunteer positions that are available, joy.org.au, to find out how you might like to get involved here at Joy 94.9. Now, we thought we'd also do the typical show roundup as well. Google have there's some backlash going on over in Europe. There's some European MPs, in fact, have voted to break up the internet giant in a bid to curb its dominance.
Does Europe not like Google?
Does Europe not like massive technological monopolies? I don't know.
Are they wrong? Should Google be broken up?
I don't think so.
So parliamentarians in Europe have voted to break up the internet monolith. The resolution, of course, is largely symbolic, though, because the motion cannot actually be enforced. It's like, it's almost less than the UN, I mean.
But I guess it is a statement in itself saying, hey, we think you guys are a little bit too big. You need to go your separate ways. The same way that the telco were broken up in the US. So Bell, I think it was Bell, was broken up into all the baby Bells. And sounds like a cheese. And so they're thinking that, you know, perhaps the search engine should be separate from all the other businesses.
I think it's an interesting analogy, though, that, you know, to describe it as like the Bell of the US. The problem with Google is that it's, and the problem with most internet companies now, technology in general, is that they are multinational companies. It's very hard for a single jurisdiction, say Europe, the European Union, to say, hey, you've got to break up, because, like, how does that even work? They could just break it up for the purposes of what they do in the European Union, but for the rest of the world, they could still remain the same. It doesn't really, like, unless there's some sort of new world government.
And I think in the case of Europe, each individual country would have to legislate that.
Yeah.
Because the EU by itself is, you know.
Well, and you know, finance policy, and I don't really know the ins and outs of EU policy and how it gets implemented, but I think there's a lot of challenges there. Both on both sides, technology company, you know, multinational, and also Europe, the EU as it is, doesn't really do, you know, is not very well formed, I guess.
It will be interesting to see if there's any response from Google, if they're going to change any of their behaviours, or they're going to at least go out and start saying things to appease the Europeans and to say, okay, well, yes, we're not going to break up, but we're doing this and we're doing this on the privacy front.
Mm. Yeah, I think the two authors of the motion said that they were not ideologically against Google. We are against monopolies, and you know there is an element of common sense to that as well, right?
Right, and it's just implemented, I think, in a way that is different to what you would see in the US, where you would see a whole lot of antitrust court cases and stuff going on, as we've already seen with Microsoft, in fact. In Europe, they're just like, well, let's just legislate the buggery out of it, you know. I guess that works for them, but it just seems so toothless, you know. It's
Europe,
a real shame.
Europe, however, were successful with Microsoft and Internet Explorer, so that when you install Windows, you had a choice of installing another browser.
Mm. I think that's a very specific example, right? Like,
yeah.
Sorry, you were going to say, Raina?
No, that's okay.
I was just going to say that Internet Explorer is a very easy thing to change on a per jurisdiction basis. You can't really change the functioning of an entire company.
No, you
can't. Yeah, true.
You can do some things like what happened with Microsoft, though, where OEMs were told that they couldn't just install Explorer as the default one, that they had to put on this stuff that was part of, that was Windows as well, saying, well, choose your own adventure, so to speak.
Yeah.
Maybe what will come out of this is that when you purchase a copy of Windows or Mac OS X or whatever, is that you'll get like a nice little splashy screen when you start your browser for the first time that says, hey, did you know you have some choices? But, you know, when you get so tied into things like Gmail and things like Google Calendar and stuff like that, it's pretty hard to you know, dig people out of that hole.
You really get hooked into the bundle. Now, have you heard about this new spyware? Or the old spyware?
New spyware?
Well, it's new old spyware.
It's apparently old spyware that we only just found out about.
Yeah, but it's been there since 2008 and maybe even 2006.
Right. How creepy.
How very creepy. And it's very well engineered to the level of Stuxnet. And Stuxnet, of course, was the virus that was found on Iranian computers in their nuclear power centres. And so, of course, people are saying this is government-sponsored.
Yes. It's very complicated stuff. People are saying, well, look, surely it must be state-sponsored, but who could it possibly be? And it's been found mostly on systems in Russia and Saudi Arabia. So, I wonder who was interested
so it's probably
in spying
not,
on Russia
probably
and Saudi
not
Arabia.
The Russians, then.
I don't know. A number of other countries that apparently it's been seen in are Mexico, India, Ireland, interestingly, Afghanistan, Iran, Belgium, Austria and Pakistan.
And it's primarily concentrated on internet service providers and telcos, because that accounts for about 75% of the deployments.
Now, who do you think, I mean, with the number of times that you hear about, you know, say China, for example, doing cyber warfare and being caught fairly easily at doing it, or you know, allegedly, but, you know, a lot of these things are seen. This one has been lurking around for years and years and years. Which countries do you think, like maybe aside from Russia, who I'm pretty sure may not be spying on themselves, but which countries do you think might be, you know, equipped to be able to do that?
Maybe we should ask Edward Snowden.
Maybe we should ask Edward Snowden.
Either that or a certain refugee in the which
Ecuadorian
embassy.
In London. Maybe it's a country that sort of has three letters to its name.
Hmm. Uh-huh. Is that an abbreviation?
Yeah, an abbreviation. Right.
Is there an of somewhere in there as well?
Yes, yeah, that's one. Now, not necessarily aimed at detecting this particular piece of spyware, the Amnesty International have partnered with two other human rights groups to come up with some spyware detection software.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a first.
So that's for dissidents and stuff, right?
It's for dissidents, for anybody who's concerned that there may be commercial spyware on their computers that isn't normally detected by normal antivirus software. And
why wouldn't antivirus software find that?
Because this is commercial software that is very well embedded and is designed to hide from antivirus software.
Mm. Mm.
It's called Detect. And
with a K.
Yep. Sounds very German, doesn't it? As I said, Amnesty International, Electronic Frontier Foundation, and Privacy International have got together, and it's scanning in particular for two pieces of spyware, one called Finfisher and the other one called Hacking Team RCS.
Right.
So it's
good to.
So they're in the anti spyware business now as well.
Mm, yeah.
It's kind of good. You hear about these sorts of spyware things, you know, being a really great vector for people that would like to have a look at, you know, certain people's email, journalists and stuff like that. You know, often it's the sort of thing where we think to ourselves, oh, spyware, that's that thing that put that stupid toolbar. But it's actually quite dangerous for your own safety and security.
Hmm. Yeah, especially if keyboard loggers are installed so people know passwords and things like that. Now, yeah. We have another guest in the studio, Beck.
Ooh, Beck.
That's right. We're doing the as much as we can to get everyone involved in today's show as possible, because it is, of course, Joy's 21st birthday week this week. And Beck, you're a big fan of Technogaze, aren't you?
I'm a huge fan.
Not that we're freaking ourselves at all.
Well, listen, I promote you every week on my show.
We do appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. My show's on from 7 a.m. till 10 a.m. It's called Beckfest.
And we all like to wake up to Beck's voice.
Yeah, that sounded really creepy when you said it before, and it's still sounding pretty creepy, I got to tell you.
Now, for a bit of context, of course, Beck, you not only do you do Beckfest right now, but you have done Beckfest for quite some time.
Yes. So in that time slot, I have been there for 11 years this past August.
Mm.
Started off as Pop-Tarts with Tom for the first 5.
Right.
And then 6 on my own in Beckfest. And for the year prior to that, I did a late night music, alternative music show called Midnight Snack from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Right.
That was back at a time when Joy wasn't playing the music that I play, although we have quite a cross selection of shows now. But back then, no. And so I'm one of those kind of, don't whine about it, do something about it.
You
so
always flew the flag of the indie music.
Put the program proposal in and they went, sure. have this midnight slot.
What were they thinking?
And
so,
here we are.
So, you know, what is it about Joy that brings you back here on a week-by-week basis?
I know.
Especially so early in the morning.
My alarm goes off at 4:30. There's something not quite right about that on a Saturday, and not like 11 years worth of Saturdays. Yeah. But I often tell this story, and that is that this is the place where I can walk in the door and people assume that I'm gay.
Yes.
They don't ask me if I'm married, have a boyfriend, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And that happens to me just about everywhere I go, really. Because I have pigtails and I wear dresses, so.
How dare you.
I know.
Not fit a stereotype, I guess.
I know. It's like,
yeah.
So that doesn't happen. So that's what's really nice for me about coming here. And I have a lot of amazing friends here.
Mm-hmm.
I've developed a lot of great relationships out of this place. And I really believe in what Joy does. So, you know, like all people of 21, you've had a few hiccups from in your tweens and your early teens.
Yep.
And
even back in the toddler years, I'm sure there were.
Yeah,
there were,
but I wasn't here then. But no. I kind of, you know, rode that wave and just went through that. Because I believe in what Joy does.
Yes.
To stick it out, and it's such a wonderful place to be.
That's the thing. You look at the mission statement, right, and you say this is actually something that to believe in, I guess, and to work towards.
Yeah, and so I do my show every week, but I kind of feel like that's what Joy gives me. That's the reward. You know, I get to do this show every week and play music I love and have a chat with this invisible person and people that I speak to every Saturday. But what I do for Joy is that I do the kind of behind the scenes office admin stuff and, you know, look after that team of 50 people that sits at the front desk every week. And that's kind of like what I see as my payback.
Yep.
You know
Definitely.
What I mean?
Yeah. So you put in a bit of time and get a bit of benefit from it as well. And, you know, putting a 3-hour show of music to air every week, that's amazing. Like, that's an amazing contribution as well. It, like, to me, having a show like Beckfast, and there's a couple other indie music shows on Joy these days, including one that I was on during the week, Stripped Down, it shows that we all have different musical tastes. And, you know, FM radio is a lot about music, so it's a good thing. I just saw someone, I think it was...
our general manager just fleeting in to bring us lots of fruit to keep
fantastic.
Us sustained.
Aww.
Some healthy food for a change.
Yeah, it is interesting because when I meet new volunteers that come into the station and I interview them for the office admin position, what I say to them is, you know, what you'll find here at Joy is that we have typically one thing in common, that's sexuality, which is a really weird thing to have in common.
But the funny thing about it is it's not our actual sexuality that we have in common. It's just that we are diverse in our sexuality.
Yes.
Or even our sexual identity.
Yes.
Or, you know, numerous things that relate to sex, I
guess.
And that's an interesting
weird thing to have in common with people.
Mm.
I say, you know, obviously we have straight people that volunteer here as well because they're our allies. But what happens for having that in common is that we end up having a huge array of difference.
Yes.
It's so diverse, our volunteer base and other community radio stations and even, like you said, commercial radio stations with people working together, they probably have a lot more in common. And I think one of the big differences we have at Joy is our musical taste.
Yes.
You can listen to a show that is cabaret music, you can country music. You know, everything in between.
In fact, when Raina and I first realised that we both had an amazing sort of connection with a certain New Zealand-based artist who I'm very jealous that Raina is closer to said artist now because she is physically...
That's right.
Have you instructed her to stalk him?
Yes, I have. We're talking about the Finns,
obviously. Yeah.
Which is well known amongst us. But when Raina and I came across each other, and it was by accident that we realised this, it was like, wow, we've got something in common here.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's very rare, particularly in an organisation like Joy, to have that common. Like, you have to find
something. And, you know, we've had a couple of fill-in radio spots as well. So on, you know, on public holidays, this is a great thing about being at Joy, is on public holidays, if there's a free spot, you can jump in and pick your own music, yeah, just like Beck can,
mm-hmm,
which was a big surprise for me because, of course, we had been doing technogaze where we don't play music. and even after I did start taking on a music slot, it was the daytime one, which is still fun music, but it's all chosen by our music director.
Hmm.
And so having 3 hours to choose your own music...
A great way to express yourself.
And I'm like,
the yourself.
First people I should ask, Mark, Michael, for sure.
And talk about a diverse collection of music.
Yeah.
Me, who's stuck in the 80s.
Hmm.
Now, talking about music and talking about rewarding, we would like to reward our listeners with a prize.
Oh, lucky duck.
We have Guy Sebastian's album Madness, which features Like a Drum and Mama Ain't Proud. So, Joy's 21st birthday, and we're going to give it away with one of Sony Music's hottest albums this Christmas. The idea is the first person to either email us on air at joy.org.au or send a message via SMS 0427JOY949 and mention CD or prize, we will give it to them.
And that you, of course, need to be a member of Joy.
Yes.
And you can't have won a prize in the last two weeks in order to
win
this
one.
That's
right. Give someone else a go.
Yes. but, yeah, that's a great prize to win. And, of course, you know, it is our 21st birthday. We don't receive the presents. We give the presents away. It's the nature of a community radio station. We like to give away.
Yeah.
Not only do you enjoy listening to our shows, you also get presents and prizes.
Oh, hopefully you enjoy it. Hopefully.
Now, should we get back to tech?
Yes, tell me about technology.
Technology. Well, this is sort of, a little bit outside of technology, but very, very much related. The last year, a Fusilier, Lee Rigby, was murdered.
Mm.
And the Intelligence Committee has in the UK have released their official report. And what they've found is that they weren't warned about a Facebook posting in which one of his killers wrote that he wanted to kill a soldier.
Right.
And had they received this information, they say that Lee Rigby's death may have been avoided. And the chair of the committee has accused internet companies of providing a safe haven to terrorists.
That's a bit of a leap, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you go from there was some text in the archives of Facebook because, you know, Facebook, as much as they seem like they're monitoring every single letter that you type in, they're not. It is just a massive database of information. You know, that can be looked at retrospectively, for them to not have picked up on that and to turn that into, actually, you're safe harbouring terrorists, which terrorists exist regardless. It's just like Facebook is just a tool to enable people to communicate. It's like, oh, the phone system is harbouring terrorists because
somebody made a phone call and they said certain things.
Yeah, the difference is that retrospectively you can go back and see this message from this person that shows that there was intent there or whatever. So
But look, it's convenient that there is intent because there was an act that happened after the fact with this. But I can say from my personal status updates.
Yes.
Now, sometimes I might say something that I literally wouldn't do.
You're just having a rant or a vent.
I'm just having a bit of a whinge.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us as well make some pretty inappropriate comments, you know, in a joking sort of fashion that sometimes can be interpreted wrongly. I mean, all you have to do is make a poorly worded joke about, you know, something blowing up in an airport, and you don't necessarily mean an explosive, but you might mean, oh, Guy Sebastian's new album's totally going to blow up this summer.
Well, is da bomb or something
like that. And suddenly
you're
triggering all these, you know, these things. It's kind of creepy.
Well, yeah. David Cameron doesn't really share this opinion, of course, because he stood up in Parliament and he said, it's their social responsibility to act on this, and we expect them to live up to that responsibility.
So the idea is that these social media outlets will have to filter all of the content. Every time a red flag is raised, they're going to push that to MI5, and MI5 is just going to read through all this stuff and find the legitimate...
Yeah.
And then act on it, of course.
Because
they must be resource heavy, MI5. A lot of people.
The conspiracy theorist in me is just the arms are waving, right? So apparently the NSA and MI5 and all that, all those, even the local, what are they called? The Signals Directorate or whatever they are here in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
They all have apparently, you know, hooks into various communication means that we have via the network. So if information is being stored on Facebook, if a post is being made to Facebook, aren't they intercepting it along the way anyway? Like, isn't there a possibility for them to be, because of all the stuff that's come to light with Edward Snowden and his leaks, isn't it incumbent on the government agencies to just figure this out, right?
Use their illegal tapping.
Well,
sure, but isn't it also true that every time we've talked about this, we've said, well, why don't they have a warrant? Well, here they are with these buckets and buckets of data, and now they've got a reason, quote, to start, you know, churning through it. If they've got all that data, it doesn't matter that they're not picking it up on time. I mean, maybe it does, but as soon as somebody says, hey, that Beck, she talks a lot about such and such, you know, let's go and pull all her stuff from the last 3 weeks, they can do that.
I can't help
really
but think...
Really easily, and they can just filter through it.
I can't help but think that this is actually a way of deflecting the concept that the government is, in fact, across or, you know, surveilling us through underhanded means. You know, saying actually it's incumbent on Facebook to have reported this, it sort of shows publicly that they aren't doing anything about it, or it implies publicly that they're not doing these kinds of things themselves. Conspiracy theorists,
right? Yes.
Coming right out.
I know, that's a little alfoil hat right there. They're just pretending like they're not monitoring us. They are.
Well, I really think this is an excuse for the government to step in and say, look, you know, general public, if we had this information, we could have prevented this death. Therefore, you should not complain when we start getting all of this data from Facebook and everywhere else and start collecting it.
Now, we should probably have a bit of a break here on Technogaze on Joy 94.9. We are, what time is it now? It's 19 minutes to 1. And right after this track that we're going to play, it's very rare for us to play a track. And
yeah.
Beck, hopefully you did inspire this track. It's something that would probably fit into your playlist quite well on Beckfest. But we'll have right after this track, Jason from I just called it Jason. As in the web technology? No, yes. No. His actual name is Jason from Globe to talk about how Globe actually benefits from Joy and how we
yeah. And we'll say a quick goodbye to Raina as well.
Yes. Thank you, Raina, for being on the line.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, and I'd love to do it again.
I'm hoping we get to do it again next week as well, because it is Technogaze's 100th show.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, it's Technogaze Party Central here.
Yeah. Party. But do enjoy the... what's the weather like over in New Zealand? Is it
good? Actually, you know what? It is glorious today. It's beautiful. It's sunny.
Just like Melbourne.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, Raina, and we'll catch you around.
Sure will. And Victoria, don't forget to vote.
We've all had our democracy sausage, all three of us in the room here.
Vote early.
Yes.
And once.
Vote early, vote often. No. Once. All right, catch you later, Raina. This is Technogaze on Joy 94.9. Technogaze. You are listening to Technogaze here on Joy 94.9, where we're covering some of the latest in tech. We're also celebrating Joy's 21st birthday. It's been a week of celebrations here at Joy, and of course it all culminates to the 1st of December, being World AIDS Day, being the inaugural day that we went to air 21 years ago.
And we have a special outdoor broadcast from the Town Hall.
We do, indeed. Now, also we have someone special in the studio here. This is Jason Williams joins us from Globe.
Hello.
Now, Globe is an organisation that is also focused on the GLBTIQ community here in Melbourne.
Yes, here in Melbourne, that's right.
Can you tell us a bit about what Globe actually does?
Sure. So Globe actually stands for the Gay and Lesbian Organisation for Business Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people know us from over the many years as really being Fruits, or we used to be called Fruits in Suits, but it's just Fruits.
Right.
We run Fruits and Blend. We also do a lot of basically business and professional networking. So although I'm not 100% au fait with all the tech talk, but we do actually get a lot of our tech members that come along, a lot of our IT members that come along to a lot of the networking events.
Yeah.
We also have a really great focus on the community. So we run different events such as the presidents of all the different community groups, where we get everyone together, we network and talk about what the problems our community is facing, and see if we can connect people up. So,
so it's a way of networking. It's a way of discussing issues that GLBTIQ people encounter in their workplace.
Yes, that's right. We're actually very lucky too. We did, just did the inaugural Globe Community Awards this year, which Joy was absolutely fantastic. This, that was my first exposure to Joy, actually.
Right.
I was invited on, and you actually bought a table on air, and I got such a shock that I actually fell off the chair. So, and I just wasn't prepared for it. So,
right, because there, there are quite a few business-minded folk here around Joy. So there's obviously some crossover that that we, you know, people have an interest here at Joy in a group like Globe, and I'd say vice versa as well. We provide you guys with a voice for. For you know, spruiking what's going on in your world in the community.
Exactly. Yeah, we've I think we've had a I actually only joined as vice president this year, but we've had a very long standing relationship with Joy, and everything that Joy's done for us has been amazing, and it does work very much reciprocal. So it's what we can do for each other to help and work in the community.
It's a great thing that community organisations can get together in that way and work together to create. You know, to talk and to enable people to communicate with each other as well.
It is. And the one of the most surprising things I've found is there's a lot of the same problems right across the different areas of the communities. You know, we face very similar issues right across, and I wasn't aware that it was really like that. So it's great to have to talk it out, and some people have solutions so we can work through that. It's been really good, yeah.
And I guess going back to, I mean, we do, this is a TechnoGaze, which is a technology show, so we probably have a number of people who are IT professionals who are tuning in to this show, either via the podcast or live to air. Is Globe a place that that IT professionals particularly, like, is there a little cohort? I expect a little group in the corner that sort of talk amongst themselves or something.
Yeah, there's a very special language area there. Yeah, it's, we've definitely got that every fruits. It is. Look, we also run a lot of events through the year. For example, we did a great LinkedIn and social media presentation, which got a little bit techie as well. So just people connecting and learning a few things. So, yeah, definitely.
I guess technology does spread across the whole business now anyway. So it's to be a social person that has a technology... social, you know, maybe social is the next best thing in business world. There's a very big crossover with technology as well. Perhaps there's, you know, more people who want to get involved with that sort of thing.
Definitely, definitely. Well, we've been growing tremendously this year, so anything, if anyone was interested, we can just look up our different events through Globe Melbourne go through Joy. So,
How often do you get together for these networking events?
So our Fruits is the third Thursday of every month.
Right.
We're currently holding it at CQ, although we're looking at a few other places next year, just to spice it up a little bit. And then we're always looking for different venues as well to help host
Some of the special events. I heard that the networking events get quite busy.
The events do. I just because I was here, I actually just missed the events subcommittee, and that's actually quite good because maybe for them, maybe for me, I don't know, but there's a lot on the go at the moment. And we've got our Christmas party coming up now too, so a lot of planning for that.
I guess now bringing back to what we do here on TechnoGaze, there's one of the main tools of business these days is a mobile phone. And apparently there's a new filter that will extend your phone's battery life. So this is a filter.
Well, one of the things I didn't know before reading this story is that all of our phones, all of our screens have got polarizing lenses on the front of them.
Really? As in the screens that make it darker?
You make it darker, exactly. And that's to allow us to view it properly and to present images much clearer.
Right.
And, of course, it's also a polarizing lens on the front of the camera. And polarizing lenses, by design, are there to block out light.
Wow.
And they block out something like, I think it's 70% of light. So... actually, a little bit less, between 50% and 60% of light. So, of course, what has to happen is you have to make screens that are really, really bright to compensate for this, which, of course, drains your battery. Mm. So this new ultra-thin polarizing filter is 30% more efficient, and therefore you won't need such a strong light as a backlight,
yes,
and your battery will last longer.
perfect for business use. It's often, you know, people are sitting, you know, sitting on the phone for a long portion of their day, and to have to plug it in to recharge it is often a thing.
It's funny, isn't it? I've been my iPhone now is charged almost three times a day. It never used to be like that.
But
maybe it's a little bit getting a bit older anyway.
All those battery draining apps, perhaps.
Well, I remember years ago when smartphones first came out. I was like, oh, this is dreadful. I only get one day on it. Well, yeah, I'd be lucky to get a day now. So hopefully that will hit some devices soon, and we'll all get the benefit of it. Now, talking about business, Estonia, of all places, has introduced something called e-residency.
Ah.
Now, this doesn't mean that you're allowed to live in Estonia or anything like that, but it does mean that you're allowed to set up things like businesses and bank accounts via this e-resident card that you get.
So I can be, I can live here in Australia, but I can be in effectively a, like a virtual residence or something like that.
That's exactly it. You could set up a company. You can incorporate a company in Estonia, employ people in Estonia. You can have bank accounts running there, and you can conduct business virtually as through Estonia to the rest of Europe.
Wow. That's a sort of thought-provoking thing to not actually be present, but to have all those benefits enabled to you.
And to get over all of the paperwork that you have to do to set up something like a company in a foreign country. Now, a word of warning, if you want to do it from Australia, Australia and Estonia does not have a reciprocal tax arrangement. So if you do have a company and make money, you have to pay tax
double
twice.
Double. Yes. Australia's not normally like that, is it?
No. Not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
Is this actually fairly new?
Yeah, it's just been released. It was part of an initiative they did for foreigners living in Estonia, and they said, oh, we may as well do this because we want to become like the Switzerland of the e-records or the e-residency of Europe.
Yeah. That's probably all we have time for with you now, Jason. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jason from Globe for coming in. You're, of course, the Vice President of Globe.
Yep.
And it's been a pleasure having you on to talk about what Globe does.
I wish I could have contributed a little bit more there, but happy birthday. So,
and thank you.
Yeah, we really appreciate, you know, being part of this.
Cue the streamers and so forth.
The party balloons. It's 4 minutes to one here on Joy 94.9.
TechnoGiz.
This is TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9 with Mark and Michael, and we are going to wrap up the show. But before we do, we have to say congratulations to Ava from Coburg, who has won our Guy Sebastian CD.
Indeed. Well, congratulations for that, Ava, for entering into the conversation and winning it. Now, that's all we have time for in today's show.
We've run out of time as usual.
Happy birthday to Joy. Happy 21st birthday. Keep tuning in for more birthday celebrations and more birthday prizes if you wish to win something.
That's right. And of course, if you've missed any part of the show or perhaps you want to listen to previous episodes, you can do so by browsing joy.org.au TechnoGaze. Coming up next is Cravings with Pete Dillon, followed by Fender Bender and Critical Hit.
And of course, Tim Lennox will be right up next with a Joy News Bulletin.
Have a good election weekend.
Next week is our 100th episode.
Yes.
So more celebrations to come. Here on Joy 94.9, we'll catch you next week.
Bye-bye.
TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.